Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Bob Elson. We're set as usual for our Saturday afternoon show, and I have two old friends as guests today. Frank Lane, who's been associated with baseball since the days of Abner Doubleday, and Ed Kelly, who does a great job as the head of our park system here in Chicago and is also a great sports fan. By the way, Ed, when Frank Lane was running the White Sox, did you guys ever have any opportunities to get together?
Well, not when he was with the White Sox. I had the pleasure of being with Frank when he was the general manager of the Chicago Packers and the Zephyrs.
Oh.
And we had a great relationship, and I have tremendous respect for him, not as only as a baseball man, but as a sports expert in basketball. As you know, he was a great basketball official, too, many, many years ago.
Yes, well, he certainly was, and he was one of my favorite baseball people. He and I have been very, very close for many, many years. And he's now a super scout for the San Diego Ball Club and works for my good friend Ray Kroc.
Well, I haven't gotten my mail yet, Bob, and I'm almost afraid to open any envelope that has Padres in the upper left-hand corner because we have a lousy ball club. But we do have some prospects, good prospects, and Jerry Coleman, who was the manager and a brilliant young manager. I knew because I had Jerry as an aviation cadet in Corpus Christi back in 42, and then he played second base for me at Kansas City when I had the American Association Kansas City Club, and of course I followed him later when he was a great star with the Yankees. And then Jerry had graduated from Corpus Christi, went on to make a great WAR record. He was a tremendous aviator and a fine gentleman. My little five-year-old daughter just doted on him. He'd come and bounce her on the trampoline down to Corpus Christi, and she'd be sitting there waiting for hours. And I said, well, Nadi, he can't be here now. He's out flying. Tremendous guy.
Frank, when a fellow is managing a ball club that doesn't have much talent, there isn't much he can do about it, is there?
No, he can. He just gets, if he gets the maximum of what he's been given to work with, that's all you can expect. And our club at San Diego is a better ball club than the bad one they had last year. Better ball club because they have Jerry Coleman managing it, and he does get the maximum of the ability they got. But we have one outstanding player, Dave Wingfield, who is concerned right now trying to get almost impossible salary to pay him. His agent, who doesn't know anything about baseball, but he knows that 10% of 100,000 is a lot more than 10% of 10,000, and it is true. His agent has asked for a 10-year contract at $1,300,000 a year for 10 years, and the right to tell Ray Kroc, the owner, principal owner of the Padres, to whom he could sell this ball club if anybody be foolish enough to buy the San Diego ball club.
Frank, why does a player or anyone demand those kind of salaries with the tax structure?
Well, I tell you what's back of it. I can't get anybody to agree with me, but you'll find out later. They have a sneaking idea that paid television is kind of the fore, and the money and the income from paid television is going to be the thing that will bail out professional baseball. Because the amount of money that they get for the sale of tickets in the gate is not going to be commensurate with the demands that's being made on these owners for salaries. The salaries are impossible. I would say there's 26 major league clubs right now. And I have no reason to, and certainly would refrain from identifying who, but I would say at least six or eight of those clubs, if they had to lay their cards on the table right now, financially, are bankrupt. And the only hope they have is the television that they're getting, the return from television to keep bailing them out. And in the hope that in the near future, that cable television will come into the scene and be a reality. Because 10 years ago, remember the Skytron company tried to put him over paid television? At that time, I remember Horace Stoneham was then running the San Francisco Giants and Walter O'Malley, the Los Angeles Dodgers and everything else. And they come around and paid $100,000 each of those gentlemen with the idea that they would give us acceptance to paid television. But then it was a Skytron company, and this young fellow that was promoting the thing, he found out that the equipment that would be necessary to have paid television was so prohibitive, the cost of it was so prohibitive. The only company at that time that had the equipment that could do it was the American Telephone and Telegraph. And I'll bet that within a year, or two, you'll see that American Telephone and Telegraph is in the paid television business. And, of course, the returns that would inure from a couple of hundred thousand people in each city paying 50 cents a head to watch it on television is going to be tremendous. And I think the agent of Dave Wingfield has an idea that's right in the offing, and that's the reason he's asking for an impossible salary.
We're talking with Frank Lane, well-known baseball figure, and Ed Kelly. You know, we've got a wonderful park system here in the city of Chicago, probably the best in the country, and a lot of credit for it has got to go to Ed Kelly. Ed, are things always in a moving stage with the park district? Moving, I mean, you got to be thinking all the time, what can you do in this area, what can you do in that area?
Well, Bob, that's very true because of the different ethnic areas that we have throughout the city of Chicago and what appeals to these different community groups. We have 580 parks and playgrounds, which is the largest in the world as far as facilities. We have over 254 field houses. We have 184 gymnasiums, nearly 700 tennis courts, 117 swimming pools. It's just unbelievable. I don't think most of the people in Chicago realize how large, you know, our program is. Unfortunately, when I became superintendent, we had 4,400 full-time employees, and right now we're down to 3,700 employees. So really, we've expanded in parks, and we've expanded in acreage. We have 7,400 acres of park land, and we have more programs than ever with less personnel to take care of it. It sounds maybe like I'm copping a plea as far as the parks are concerned, but it's the truth of it. That's why I admire Frank Lane so much, because he's so candid, and I try to be that way too.
Ed, how is all this supported? Is the park district part of the city of Chicago?
No, we're a separate municipality, and we're supported through property taxes, and we're at a maximum limit. In other words, we have to operate pretty much with the same monies every year. When I came in as superintendent, we were generating $2 million outside revenue, like for Harbors and Soldier Field. We're up to $16 million, which means $16 million that we generate saves the taxpayer $16 million as far as not paying property taxes. So we've got ourselves in that position, pretty much like baseball and basketball. We're trying to generate outside revenue where we don't have to be continually going back asking the property owners to be raising their taxes to support the parks.
Ed, it isn't your fault because Soldier Field was before your time, but is Soldier Field more or less of a white elephant?
No, I think probably I'm one of the, well, I think there's many that agree with me now. About 8-9 years ago when Mayor Daley was alive, we had a program where we could go in and develop Soldier Field for about $15 million, a new facility, a new facility that would attract about 70,000 seating capacity for only $15 million. Well, with all these meetings and Soldier Field committees and that, in 8 years have passed, it's the program that we wanted to initiate 8-9 years ago is now up to $30 million. And no, it isn't a white elephant, because since I've been superintendent, we've made money at Soldier Field. We've never lost money at Soldier Field since I've been there. We've made money. We've generated revenue, which, again, you know, helps the taxpayers. And I think a facility like Soldier Field that's known all over the world should be kept here in Chicago, because, after all, it was named after the war heroes. I think it would be a shame if we lost the Bears. Once we get Soldier Field in the condition that we know we can get it in, I know we'll attract many outside events. The problem right now is, because of the conditions of Soldier Field, we have a hard time attracting, like the tennis, the major tennis, boxing. We had boxing about scheduled to go in there, but the conditions of the toilet facilities and the lockers and the deterioration of the facility is so bad, it's very hard to bring these events in. Once we complete the stadium, which is a 3-year phase, we'll be able to attract the University of Illinois, Notre Dame, Northwestern, because, as you know, Bob, our seating capacity was around 54,000-56,000, and we could not attract these colleges to come in here because their seating capacity was larger. I've spoken to Illinois and Notre Dame and Northwestern people about the possibility of them coming into Chicago Soldier Field once the stadium is completed, where we can seat 70,000 and bring these college teams in over and above what the Bears are doing, and also bring concert events. We're going to have a concert coming in there, and we've been very successful with concerts, as you know, money-wise and no problem-wise. And we have a Budweiser Festival coming in to Soldier Field. I'm certain it's going to be sold out, and it'll generate a lot of revenue for the park district and help us get the activities, the various activities that we need in Soldier, circuses and sporting events and track and field and things like that. Oh, I'm very excited about it.
Those comments you heard were from Ed Kelly, who's the head of the park district. Frank Lane is here with us today, too. Frank, you know, every once in a while, I guess every year, the President of the United States gives a State of the Union message. What if I asked you today to give a state of baseball message? What state is baseball in?
It's in a pretty darn bad shape, Bob. The truth of the matter is, without television, baseball would be non-existing because they're depending on television returns and the impossible salaries that they're asking for, and too many of them are receiving. You know, this is the most unbusiness-like business in the world. It has to be a sport. Though the government first said it was a business, and it is a business, but it's a bad business. If I had $10 or $15 million, that's the last thing I would do, is invest in the ball club. But what might bail it out is paid television. I'm interested in listening to Ed about the activities here, and particularly about Soldier's Field. When I first came into the picture in 1948, Chuck Comiskey and I went out to Soldier Field and talked to the superintendent. What I had in mind was utilizing Soldier Field for maybe Tuesday and Friday night games and Sunday games, and of course still keeping Comiskey Park. And the superintendent of the park at that time brought the blueprints out and showed the original plans would have been adequate, except they cut back on the size of the field, and you couldn't get in more longer than about 230 feet down the foul line. So that made it an impossibility. Yeah. But that Ed and I were associated in basketball, and I have a tremendous admiration for him, and I was delighted to see him here today because he and I were working together for one of the greatest sportsmen that Chicago's had, was Dave Traeger, who just passed away recently. And we were together with the Chicago Zephyrs in the basketball, and a tremendous man. And the park system is in good hands, and I would subscribe to anything that Ed would go for, and they're certainly very fortunate in Chicago they have him.
I feel the same way about it. We really have a really wonderful park system here in the city of Chicago, and the man responsible for it is Ed here. Ed, what thought has been given to what else can be done? You must be thinking about that all the time with Soldier Field.
Well, as far as the events, excluding the Bears' 10 games that they play, we're talking about possibly Army-Navy game really becoming a reality and coming to Chicago. We're talking about, as I said, University of Illinois playing a game once a year down in Soldier Field, because after all, we have over 35,000 alumnus from Illinois in the Chicago area. I don't know how many we have from Notre Dame, but we've spoken to Notre Dame. And if we can bring events like that in there, as well as circuses and major tennis events, the facility that we're building would have the possibility of doming it also, Bob. Uh-huh. So there would be a possibility of doing that at not a tremendous cost.
Gee, the Fighting Irish would really pack that place.
Well, I think the Fighting Irish, and I think you're going to see Illinois back, as you well know, in the Big Ten. And hopefully Northwestern will get some help, too. I'd love to see an Air Army-Navy game at Soldier Field. That's where it belongs, really. And there's a lot of other imaginative ideas. We can bring Olympic events in there. Hopefully we're going to have some Olympic. I did have Olympic teams come in there one year, and we can attract them in there. We can bring them there as long as the facilities are safe and as long as they're adequate for the spectators. And the facility that we're building there now will be individual seats, 19-inch width seats, new press box, new toilet facilities, new lighting facility. The only thing you'll see there when the stadium is complete will be the colonnades, and that's one thing we don't want to eliminate, because when you go down the outer drive at night and you go past there, it's just an unbelievable thing.
Our guest today at Northwest Federal, Ed Kelly, the head of the Park District, and Frank Lane, who's been associated with baseball for so many, many years and feels about the game like I do. We both really love baseball. Anyway, Frank, your San Diego ball club, not really at this time too talented. Right?
Well, it's in the process of being built up. And we have a fine young manager, Jerry Coleman, whom I had at Corpus Christi as an aviation cadet. Later he played second base for the American Association Kansas City Club when I was operating that. And of course, later I was a great fan of his when he played second base for the champion Yankees. And, eventually anything that Ray Kroc puts his hand to is going to be improved. Ray took over the San Diego franchise when it had been suggested to me that I could run that thing if I wanted to be. That was before he got Buzzy Babase in, before Ray was even in it. And I said, well, I would say that San Diego is the armpit of the United States as far as professional baseball is concerned. The south of it is Mexico. The east of it is the desert. The west of it is the Pacific Ocean. And north is Los Angeles Dodgers and the California Angels. And I said, I think it's a losing thing. And yet later on, when Babase was successful in getting Ray Kroc and his love for baseball interested, he spent millions in building up. And we're not struggling financially. Anything that Ray Kroc has his hand in is not going to struggle financially. But and we built the ball. I say we. I had no hand in building it up. But his son-in-law Ballard Smith, who was my immediate boss, who was president of the ball club, and Ray Kroc. The San Diego Padres would draw $1,400,000 up to $1,600,000, would just about break even. But if we got a championship ball club down there, we would attract from a greater area than we do, fans from a greater area, and could draw $2 million. But we do have to have a better ball club. And we have a fine young manager, Jerry Coleman, whom I just mentioned, who I've known since an aviation cadet and today, but that dates 30 years, and is doing a good job with the talent he has. You know, Bob, what makes good managers are good ball players. And our quest is to improve the caliber of talent we have, and I'm sure we got the proper man to manage it.
Our guest today at Northwest Federal, Frank Lane, who's been associated with baseball for a long, long time, and Ed Kelly, who does a great job as the head of our park system here in the city of Chicago. Ed, by the way, how feasible is Soldier Field for baseball?
Well, as Frank said, they did have some, the right field line would be a problem. They'd have to do some renovation, and I don't want to go into more renovation talk about Soldier Field, but the way it's laid out now, it would be pretty near impossible to play baseball in there.
Originally, but they cut back on from the original plans, and they cut back so it would be impossible to put down either left field or foul lines at 230 feet.
Right.
Ed, the discussion that's been going on that was in the newspapers about the Bears and the fee they're paying at Soldier Field, has all that been resolved?
No, it hasn't. They're still apart on the 50 cents additional monies that we're asking for, or the commissioners are asking for, as far as the surcharge. There was originally, the talk was a dollar surcharge on every ticket sold and a 20-year contract with the Bears, besides the 12% that we get from the Bears, and the commissioners, one or two of the commissioners, felt that the Bears should tack another 50 cents surcharge on that dollar, making it $1.50. And I think that's where they're separated. It involves about $300,000, and I don't have any idea what the Bears' intentions are, because they have their own payrolls to worry about. But I hope it's resolved, and because the Bears do open up in August at Soldier Field against Cleveland. And they're still apart, and I hope within the next 2 weeks, we'll get some action one way or the other.
Well, really, Soldier Field is ideal for the Bears because, well, look at it. You could park how many thousand cars out there?
23,000 cars. And another thing I think people don't realize, it generates a lot of business as far as the hotels and the restaurants. And people that use these hotels and restaurants, there's taxes at the city. You know, they get taxes from the people using these hotels. And it helps the city of Chicago, too. And, we're talking about activating the Loop area. And, of course, when we do have events at Soldier Field, the Loop and the restaurants surrounding that area do very, very well. And I think it would be a terrible thing if we lost the Bears. But I'm certain the commissioners feel, we have to protect our park people and our people of Chicago. And we're trying to get the best deal we can. And of course, Papa Halas has a responsibility to his ball club and his players, and he has high salaries, just like Frank indicated that these ball players are asking today.
Well, there doesn't seem to be another place in Chicago that really is as feasible for football and for that kind of a crowd that the Bears attract, that Soldier Field does.
Well, Bob, as you know, we had 57,000 seating last year, and we'll be up to 64,000 this year because we have added the wings on the north end of Soldier Field. So there will be an additional 6,000 more people that can see the Bears play this year, which will generate more money, of course. And eventually, when we complete it, we'll have a seating capacity of close to 70,000 people. So, a lot of people that are trying to become Bears season ticket holders who are on a waiting list, I think, will be taken care of. And I think everyone loves the Bears.
Oh, sure. What happens to the parking money?
the parking money goes to the park district. The Bears do not get any of the parking money. And as I said before, we can park nearly 23,000 cars, and I think there's only one other facility in the United States that can park that number of cars in and around Soldier Field. We've made improvements with the IC lots, and there's going to hopefully the city will eventually come through at Roosevelt Road to the outer drive, which will make it easier, much easier for cars to get in and out of Soldier Field. But I think in the last 2 or 3 years, I think the parking has improved tremendously as far as getting cars in and out of Soldier Field. And of course, we do have a problem when McCormick Place has events. And even the museums, they have problems, too, as far as Sunday games with the Bears. But I know if we generate a lot of night activity out there, too, I had an idea, you know, I suggested about the possibility of bringing in the dogs.
Dog racing,
during the summertime, and Mayor Daley nearly fell off the chair when I said that. But my thought was, not to be we've had a lot of dog lovers, and I'm a dog lover, too. I have. But I thought it would be something to generate money and activate the field in the summertime, in the summer nights.
And it's so popular in Florida. Yes, I used to go out there every night. Though.
And our facility could handle it. And if you know, it would generate more work and it would generate more money, in the city and more activity. And I still think the concept, we should think about it because, if we can activate events in Soldier Field in summer nights out there, it'd be beautiful, I think.
Frank Lane, also our guest here today, an old buddy of mine from many, many years. Frank, it looks like in the American League, both the races are over.
No, a lot of things going to happen, Bob. A couple of injuries, either one of these.
Well, there's 7 and 8 game leads.
Well, they evaporate very quickly. You see, we've got 100 ball games to play, and a lot of things going to happen in a week. I would say it's not over. I think that the Yankees and Kansas City are going to be tough, and. But it looked like Boston is going to be having problems, and the Montreal club and the New York Mets have had a resurgence. They've been just lately, and they've got new money in it. They've got the Rockefellers and the Double Days, and they're going all out to try to build up that ball club. And you can see the improvement. No, I the race is not over. It can happen. Of course, a couple of injuries to key men can make a lot of difference. I have never seen so many injuries in baseball. They have more injuries in baseball than we've had in football. The Milwaukee club, which I helped took over as an expansion club and feel a little proud of the progress they've made. And now with Bud Selig ahead of it, the president, I went over and took over the expansion club for Bud for 4 years. And they have a good ball club. But right at the moment, they have 8 men on the injured list, and you run out of talent, and they very quickly, and that can make a lot of difference in their pennant race.
I'd like to see Bill Veeck get a break on the south side.
Well, he does a pretty good job with what he's got, and he was criticized when all the kids that he had down at Sarasota the last couple of years, but from all those kids he had, he's got the finest young pitching staff. And particularly, he's got a monopoly on the left-hand pitching. I'd like to have a couple of them. And he helped himself the other day with a deal that got Todd Cruz at the ball, the shortstop. And he's going to have a good ball club. And he's got a fine, upright manager in Tony La Russa. And if Tony would just not be so nervous with the pitchers out there, more than they get in trouble, they get 3-0 on the hitter, they say, uh-oh. There goes the man in the bullpen. He's got to have a little more patience. But they will be 1-2-3, and that's as much as you can expect.
Our guest today, and our time is up already, I'm sorry to say, Frank Lane, who's been associated with baseball a long, long time, and Ed Kelly, who does a great job here with the Park District. Thanks for coming over, Ed.
My pleasure, Bob.
And thanks, Frank, for being with us.
Always nice to be with you, Bob.
So have a nice weekend, and now this is Bob Elson saying goodbye until next Saturday at our usual time.